So we're delighted to present a special bonus episode of By the Power with the fabulous Laura Summer. Laura, it's a pleasure to speak to you today.
It's a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Now, Laura, we ended up talking to you today because we recently took a look at The Real Ghostbusters on one of our reviews that we were doing. And we talked about The Real Ghostbusters, and I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to the podcast yet. We talked about it for quite a while, but maybe 60% of our chat was about Supernatural and the paranormal. So we'll maybe have a little bit of a chat about that later on. But one of the things we talked about was the fact that Janine is a highlight, I think, especially in the first couple of series, and we'll talk about that later on. But the whole series actually has a really strong voice cast. And in terms of yourself, people will have also perhaps heard you on Patamon, as Patamon from Digimon, Mimi and Hello Kitty, Drusilla and Minerva in the Garfield Show, and there's loads more as well. And you've also done voice work on Hollywood movies and loads of commercials. How did you get started in voice acting?
I got started because I was doing a lot of commercials on camera in New York, and it just sort of led into that. You know, I was the Hanes underwear girl for Inspector Toy. It was a campaign, national campaign. I don't think you guys got it. But so from that, they were like, oh, the voice department should start sending you out. And that's how I did a lot of radio in New York. And then when I moved out to LA, it was just like, oh, I need a voice agent. And the first audition I went on was Ghostbusters.
That's a pretty good start.
Well, it was the first audition in California, in Hollywood. Yeah, it was. But I didn't even know what it was. You know what I mean? I had no idea. It wasn't like I grew up going, I want to be on cartoons, or, you know, I love cartoons. But I didn't even equate that, oh, I could do cartoons, because I was a serious actress in my mind, you know.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think sometimes voice work, we kind of take it for granted a little bit, perhaps, because, you know, it's the quality, I think, is generally really high. I don't listen to many cartoons or listen to many voiceovers and think, they weren't very good. Generally speaking, it seems like a really tough industry because the quality is just very high. Did you just kind of fall straight into it and find it was just something you were naturally very comfortable doing, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, the way when I auditioned for Ghostbusters, they didn't tell me to do in New York. I'd never seen the movie. And it was just a monologue, like a Janine's mom had they wrote a long monologue for her. And yeah. I was just talking like, hello, Ghostbusters. You know, it was just like that. And they cast me from that. And then when the first session happened, everybody was there from the studios who were producers, and it was a really long session, and that director didn't stay with us very long because it took so long. I didn't know how quick it's supposed to be. And because it's not like you get scripts in advance or anything like that. You just, they tell you what's going on, and then you just have to read it and act like you're not reading it. And so then somewhere in the middle of the session, they just said, oh, could you do a New York accent? And I'm from New York. So I said, sure. And that's how it became the Janine that we know.
So is the Janine very close to your own accent, or did you put anything kind of extra into it?
Dude, I don't have I have a slight probably New York accent, but no, if I'm talking like this, it's Janine, it's very different.
And how easy is it for you to push into that? I guess because there's some fantasy, because you're used to hearing that kind of accent quite easy, or?
Because I grew up around those people.
It is a very distinct accent.
It's a crazy accent.
I heard somewhere that you base the accent of Janine on your mum, Laura. Is that right?
Yeah, part of her, yes, definitely. My mother grew up in Brooklyn, and even though Janine, you know, some people think that she's from Brooklyn, but actually I know that we did an episode where she goes to Queens. So she lived in Queens, but which is a different borough. But my mother never lost her accent. I mean, you know, she lived, they moved to Florida Like they lived there for 35 years, and I think her accent got stronger.
Yeah, I think that's good, right? Because you have that kind of prove where you're from, especially if you're proud of it. Did you find on the real Ghostbusters, so you talked about that kind of first session that you did, once you were kind of a little bit into that, how many takes would it take? How long would it take to kind of get an episode down? And did you even do it in episode order, or how did the actual process work?
Well, that episode is very was the pilot, I guess. So, and like I said, all the producers were around, and I think the Sony people were around, or and they weren't happy with the director. So we were there for 8 hours, which normally it would take three, maybe. So I just remember it was a long day, and I didn't even remember what I did in that episode, if I was even in it. But now that the shows are running on their own channel, you know, the fans are writing to me on Twitter, especially at Love That Laura. And so they say, oh, Janine did this today, or they'll send me, you know, a quote or something like that. So I guess I was in the first episode.
And I've seen some of the fan artwork that you get sent on Twitter as well. Some of that's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is really good. Because obviously we saw you on Twitter, and I went back through some of your tweets, and yeah, some of that stuff is amazing. That's one thing I wish I could do. Is draw. Second probably is do the voices. Would you say that how you work, your process has changed over the years, or do you think you kind of, your background meant you were straight into it, very comfortable, and you kind of continued with that through the different characters you did?
Well, I did some cartoons, and then I got really into ADR, which is way more anonymous. You know, you do lots of different voices on movies, and I did that for a really long time. So you're not really doing characters because you have to kind of blend in your voice. But now I went back to, with the pandemic and all that, I went back to class. Well, I never really had taken it. I'd taken acting classes, but I'd never done any animation or commercial class because the styles have changed and I want to be current and I want to be on another series. So has my process changed? I mean, I think I have a lot more experience, and sometimes like I just did a show, Cells at Work, Code Black, and it's dubbing and you just have to do what they want you to do.
Oh, that's the Inside the Body anime. Which is going to sound very strange if anyone hasn't heard of it and hear it described in that way. But that looks really good fun, actually.
Well, have you seen Code Black or just Cells at Work?
I've just seen Cells at Work.
No, I think that's a little different from what the fans have told me. I've seen just a couple episodes of that. Cells at Work, Code Black's a little darker.
Okay, interesting. We'll certainly give
that. You know, they're always fixing some disease.
For things like Code Black and for Patamon, where you're doing the voice on something that I guess already exists. So you're doing you're not doing the translation, obviously, but you're recording the English version. How different is that to recording something from a script? Because my imagination pictures you sat there with the cartoon on with subtitles on and just reading the subtitles out, but I'm sure that's not the case.
Right. No, you have to sync it up perfectly with the flaps, and it's actually a little more challenging. Because you have to always fit what they write in with the flaps, and unless sometimes they'll say, oh, cut out that word, because it's just impossible. With original animation, you have a lot more freedom. And then the artwork's done, like Garfield was all original. So the twins, I would do the twins, I'd record one, then they would record the other twin. And I'd come in like 2 seconds later on the same lines. So that was slightly off, you know, when the girls talked. But that's original animation is much more a creative process, I think.
Yeah, you feel like you can have a little bit more input into the end result.
Yeah, well, you are not, you're not tied down by the restraints of having to fit the whatever words. Remember, it's originally Japanese and then they write it into English, and then you have to fit that into the thing and usually don't even know what's going on. So because you're coming in to do your part. or as now I'm in my closet recording, which everybody is doing. This is studio's club, so, right? And so, yeah, I mean, but they're both fun.
Just a little different. So you mentioned earlier on you hadn't seen the Ghostbusters movie before you did that interview. Would you class yourself as a fan of Ghostbusters now? And I'm assuming you have seen the movie.
Oh, I saw the movie, yeah, after I started doing the show at some point.
You had to, right?
Yeah. And, but I don't even remember. I really don't remember. Was I doing the show or it was a couple of years later that I saw it? I wouldn't have seen it while I was doing the show because I wouldn't want to be influenced.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So
in regards to the characters, I mean, I always remember Janine having a thing for Egon. Did you have a preference on the Ghostbusters, which one you preferred? I mean, Janine liked Egon, but what about yourself? Who's your favorite?
Well, we were all in a room together, you know, we all sat in a room together and, the guys were great. I mean, I had a special fondness for Lorenzo Music, but I have since worked with, Arsenio Hall I've seen, I haven't worked with, but not in a really long time. Frank Welker I've worked with a lot since then. He was on Garfield cause he took over for Lorenzo Music. And so I did that show for, I don't know, 5 years or something. So I would see Frank, and I seen Maurice pretty recently around town before the.
Now that's Maurice LaMarche. He's fantastic. He's a favorite.
So talented.
Out of the characters, guy, I didn't realize that. Obviously, you voiced Janine in the Ghostbusters, but there was about 15 different characters that you did the voices for, which I never realized. Did you have creative license over the voice characters, like the werewolf and things, or was it almost dictated to you how they wanted that to come across?
I have no memory of that. I mean, I remember a few things, you know, like because I've heard it, like Snarg, and which was a pink ghost, and
yep.
I sort of based that on. I had to just sound different than Janine, so I just went up, you know.
Do you find that's a challenge for you? And obviously, I guess, aside from the ADR work, that you're trying to make each character sound very unique. Because what got me thinking about that is when I saw that Egon had been voiced by Maurice, I realized that when watching things like Pinky and the Brain, I'd never realized that it was the same voice. But once I knew, my brain kind of picked up straight away that it was the same person doing both voices, even though they're both pretty different. Do you have to be considering that as your thinking about the voice for a new character?
No, it doesn't matter. You could do this. Some people do the same character in every single show and they go from show to show and they're always doing themselves, you know? So they guide you. Like you'll come up with something and the director will say, no, I've had directors say, oh, do it more like Janine, you know, like they'll want that. Yeah. But I won't do it exactly like it. No, that's not really my job is to just do the best that day on that show. And, or they'll say, no, do it more like, you know, some directors work differently. They'll say like, do it like, Marilyn Monroe or do it like Julia Child or, you know, they'll give you some reference and hopefully you know what that reference is.
Yeah. That sounds like it could go backwards and forwards quite a bit to get it right.
Sometimes, but usually it's very quick because everybody is so gifted. And I mean, like the actors we just spoke of, I mean, they can do imitations up the wazoo, you know. I don't really do that. And it's really incredible and a lot of fun.
Is it quite hard not to kind of crack up and have some laughter when you're doing the recordings?
Sometimes, right. But in the last, when I was doing Garfield, we would we read it through once? I think we might have read it through and then we recorded, or we just recorded the rehearsal. And then if somebody laughed or something like that, we would just do pickups.
Yeah. So, and to kind of wrap up Ghostbusters before we move on to talk about a few other things, you were the Janine for the first two series or first two seasons, and then that changed. And it seems like there's a lot of rumors online about why exactly that was. Some blaming kind of the character design as much as some saying that Janine's glasses, some people thought would frighten children too much, and that she was too abrasive. Were you involved in that at all? And did you kind of have any
No, not at all. Lorenzo Music and I were both canned at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I wasn't involved. I sort of just saw it on the cover of the LA Times. And I wasn't even called or anything. It was a group that was hired that, and the show was doing very well. So, but there was no character at the time on TV like Janine, and she wore short skirts, and you know they showed off her figure, and you know she was a strong female character, and there was nothing like that then.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, one of the things we've talked about on our podcast, isn't it, Jamie, is the fact that we kind of picked our first four or five cartoons from the 80s and 90s and kind of realized as we got into there that the majority obviously are very male-focused because they're produced by men. They generally, I think, they assumed their target audience was boys.
I don't remember ever seeing a female name. There was a female voice director, but... there were no women.
Yeah, and a character like Janine, because obviously, even if the assumption is that you know the cartoons were aimed at boys, there'd be sisters of the boys they're aimed at watching at the same time, because there was only one TV in the house, perhaps at that point. But I think you're right. I think Janine as a character was probably the first time for many kids that there was that strong female character who I think grew into it as the episodes progressed.
Right, but sometimes they left Janine out. You know, I was there for 65 plus 13, so 78 episodes, but I'm not in every single show because sometimes they just didn't write any lines or they would just, I just answer the phone and that would be it, you know, which, you know, is their prerogative. So, but I think if there's a reboot, I think it would be different today.
How Hopefully. Do you think they'd portray Certainly. Her if they did it again? Because she's a phenomenal character. If they was doing it again, do you think they'd change anything about the character? And if so, what would that be?
I have no idea. I never saw the show after I left. I mean, I know of the actress that they hired, and I know that I've seen what Janine looks like, and I know from the pictures and from the cells online and that they really drew her really differently. And then they sort of to creep back a little bit the way she was, like they made her not so straight, like as the years went by. But I really, you guys know more than I do. I was like, oh, well, this happened to me. And, you know, what's next?
And then again, it's very hard, isn't it, to know what decisions were made and why they made them sometimes, because I think Janine seemed to me at least perfect in the first two seasons. I'm not sure why they felt the need to change it, but who knows?
They all say that now. And even I saw one of the creators and I ran into him at a con and he said, you were the heart of Janine. And that was a terrible mistake. But so that was sort of nice.
And I don't think anybody thinks for a moment it's because the voicing or the character wasn't a good one. And that's what's almost extra strange about the decision, I guess.
Yeah, like, you know, I never looked back, kind of, and I was pretty young. So when it happened, and now that I've heard it, I go, I was really good. I'm very proud of what I did. And I listened to it, and I don't think I would have changed that much.
Laura, I can say as a fan of Ghostbusters, as a child and as a 37-year-old man right now, you smashed it out of the park. You did a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. That's very, very kind. It's very, very kind. It's funny. You guys didn't send me something in the mail, did you, from England, a poster or something?
Not to my knowledge. Stu, did you send anything?
We haven't, no. We haven't.
Oh, okay, because somebody sent something that I got the other day and I haven't opened it, and it's from England, and I hope it's not something they want to send back, because I don't go to the, I don't go to the post office right now.
I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued.
A bit of a charge. Talking of the fans, you seem to get really positive interactions with fans across all the various voices you've created. Is that something you enjoy? Do you go to the cons and those kind of events when we could, obviously? How do you feel about that kind of relationship between the fans and the
You know, I never did. I never did where I was like engaged with the fans, because it just, I don't know, I was kind of shy in that way. And I did some panels where I was with other voice actors. You know, I did that, but I never did like signings or anything like that. And then I was going to go to Scotland because there was like a Ghostbuster fan day, and then all that got canceled. And I thought, well, that would be okay. Like one day, like I thought, I think that would be, there were a lot of reasons for that. You know, like I thought it would be a good, cause I know a lot of people do it, and I started to go, maybe I'll try it, you know? And so with the pandemic, I got more into, like Twitter. You know, I find Instagram a little hard, but I like Twitter with the fans. I just talk about that. But I had an account and it was on private for like 8 years. I didn't even know it. You know, I had like opened up an account, but I wasn't engaging. And so just this year I started to do it, and I'm really enjoying it.
I think it's really nice, isn't it, for the fans to get that contact and be able to send a quick message.
Yeah, if they, you know, it is sweet. I've gotten a lot of messages like that. I can't believe Janine wrote to me. So I try to, you know, if I see somebody talking about it, I'll try to, you know, say something. And it seems to make people happy. And I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think if you can make people smile, it's great.
Exactly.
I'm interested about you saying about things through the post. Do you get sent a lot of gifts through the post? And if so, what's the most bizarre thing you've ever been sent, Laura?
Oh, because they have to get an address from me, and I send it to an attorney, and then, and then...
they have to take the risk of looking inside first.
They don't open it, but I mean, I have to make sure the person. I don't send stuff back. You know, if I have to, first of all, if it's from another country, you have to go to the post office. And I just, you know, I in lockdown, I certainly wasn't doing it. And I just really, it's not like I have someone to do it for me. And so there has to be a chit chat with another person. Let's see. This is from the United Kingdom, from Essex. But I didn't open it. So, no, I don't really do much of that. I do some charity stuff, you know, and as long as they send me everything and they can make money for kids or something, I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this box, which I haven't opened. I just did a signing, my first one, online, where they did all the work. They sent it to me, and I thought I'd try it and see what it felt like. But I haven't even opened the box yet.
Well, I think at some point, Laura, I really hope that whatever it is that's come over to you from Essex, that you're going to be able to put on Twitter what it is that's in that box. Because otherwise me and Jamie are going to be for weeks now wondering what it is in that box.
I'm so curious.
Cool. I got somebody put a picture of a tray, a Ghostbusters tray. Janine's not even on it. And I said, oh, that's so cool. Wish I had one of those. And I'm just kidding. And then somebody said, I'm going to send it to you. And they wrote me privately. And I got it. And they wouldn't let me pay for the postage. You know, it was like, I know it was like $18 to mail, and she wouldn't let me pay. And she says, no, I'm so happy that you're having it. And I was like, no, really, I want to pay you. So I sent her a note and everything, but thank you note. So maybe if she wants to, if she needs it, she can sell it on eBay.
I think it's so nice, isn't it, that one of the nice things with technology is that you can have that sort of connection with somebody who, outside of that, it would really be impossible. And, you know, Laura, I mean, we've talked a lot about Ghostbusters, but you've also worked for a long period on Digimon. Is Digimon the longest your longest serving voice at this point? Because you've been doing Digimon, I think, for about 20 years now.
Well, not straight, though. You know, it was like it started whenever it started, 99, 2000. And then I did it for a couple of years. And then I didn't. Then the show went off in another way. And then I came back somewhere. I don't know, 2014 or I'm not. You guys would know better than me. And I did all the try and I did all the movies. And I know now there's a reboot with Patamon back in it with all the characters from the first 2 years. And but they haven't gotten the English dub yet. So.
Oh, OK. Interesting. Did you when you do something like that, when you went and you perhaps maybe it's the first episode that you've recorded of something like Patamon. Do you have a feeling for I'm going to be doing this 20 years?
No.
Or do you think that's purely because it's that was a very quick answer. But do you think something can you tell if something's high quality or not? Do you think early on?
Yes and no. I mean, you might have an idea, but I didn't know. I mean, I certainly as a young actress didn't have a clue that we would be talking about Ghostbusters a billion years later and what an impact that it's like a cultural phenomenon, you know? So everybody knows Ghostbusters, right? So no.
But I think you're right, because I think sometimes good things don't make it right for whatever reasons, or sometimes things that perhaps aren't great improve and they just catch the attention and make it big, right? So I guess it's pretty difficult. Is there anybody you would love, any character from film or TV that you'd love to voice should an imaginary cartoon version be created? What would be your kind of ideal role?
What would be my ideal role? You know, all this, it's funny, all this Janine talk, wouldn't it be fun to, you know, have them like 20 years later and see where they're up to.
I never thought of that.
I love that idea.
You know, like, so, because I guess they were all in their 20s when they, so now they're, let's say, in their 40s and they're still ghost busting. And, you know, I think that would be, and then they all maybe, I have no idea where the show went off in those other years, but maybe they have
I think at this point, Janine would be running things.
That's what people say.
Right?
And
she's competent, right?
And you know, Frank Welker does Lorenzo unbelievably. But, you know, then I know he was replaced by Dave Coulier, who I don't know, by the way, you know, that was all after me. So, you know.
Yes, of course, yeah.
That would be a blast to play.
We need to get that copyrighted. We need to get that trademarked. I think that would be amazing to do that.
Well, you know that Michael Straczynski is on Twitter, and I don't know how much, you know, who else of power, but you know.
I think we should start a Twitter. Jamie, you're our Twitter specialist. I'm also not great on Twitter or social media. I think you need to get this started, Jamie, and push for this.
I think we should, right? Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got one cast member on board. We need to find a few more.
We can do it, Stu. We can fill in the characters.
Oh, I'm sure Maurice would. Well,
that would be amazing. You two are my two favorites. So, Jamie, you're going to reach out on Twitter and try and get that remake of the real Ghostbusters set up. And I'm really conscious we're getting near the end of our time with you, Laura. And, Jamie, I know you've been kind of chomping at the bit to do one of your Would You Rathers.
Absolutely. And, Laura, we have a feature on the show where we do a Would You Rather. So one of us asks the three other hosts of the podcast a Would You Rather question, and we try to link it to the episode. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to do a Would You Rather. Is that okay?
Yeah, so this isn't like the American version is who would you rather sleep with?
Oh, absolutely not. We do go through some quite interesting subjects on the podcast, but I'm not going to put that on you. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
So here we go. So would you rather have Slimer from Ghostbusters as a pet, or would you rather have Patamon from Digimon as a pet?
Oh, that's interesting. So, because I was going to say, well, if Frank Welker came along with Slimer, that would be perfect. Because, he's such a fun man and he's a pilot. But as just the joy factor, I would say Potamon, because Potamon's always happy and is always snacking and, up for anything.
Super cute.
Super cute.
The problem is, if he's always snacking, he's going to cost a fortune, right? In upkeep of food.
Well, you didn't that you have to those things are not part of the question. It's like money's no object, room is no object. It's just like who would you rather?
I agree. I think I'd go Patamon as well.
Would you really?
Yeah, it's like kind of a cute guinea pig with wings, like the perfect little friend, right? And can speak and so cute. I think I'd go Patamon.
Yeah, and I don't think he
Yeah.
weighs a whole bunch. I don't
That's a
think
good point.
so. I never thought about it, but I have a doggy and he weighs 15 pounds and it's a good weight and it's solid. I don't think Potamon's that heavy. Potamon's probably, 8 pounds.
Yeah, good point. I'm talking about Patamon eating a lot, right? And the other option is Slimer, who eats
Yeah.
a horrendous amount of food. So I think I'm going to make this three for three, guys. I'm also going to go with Patamon.
Fantastic. We're going to actually, Laura, cover Digimon in an upcoming podcast in a few weeks, I think. So we'll be talking a bit more about Patamon and the other Digimon characters then.
Great.
So thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. It's been really pleasurable to speak to you. I guess one question we want to ask you, Laura, is how ca is there anything you kind of want to talk about or tell the fans about? Anything you're up to at the moment or anywhere it's hard to get in touch with you?
Oh, well, I just finished working on Cells at Work Code Black. And so that's airing here. And I don't know if it's airing where you are.
We'll take a look and pop that on because Code Red has been great, so I'll definitely give Code Black a look.
Yeah, there's Cells at Work and then there's Cells at Work Code Black. And so I've been working that, which is we all have to work at home right now. So that's a different skill doing anime from home than just recording, animation or a commercial or something like that, because you have to do it to picture. So anyway, I don't know if your fans are interested in that, but we're all working from our closets, which is crazy. I look forward to once again conventions start. I will get out there. I've never done it before, but I think it's time. And so maybe next summer I'll see you guys.
That would be fantastic.
It would be awesome.
It would be.
And you're pretty active on Twitter as well.
Yes, I like Twitter.
And we do. So when we can find you with the handle at LoveThatLaura.
Yeah, all my handles are Instagram and Twitter is Love That Laura, and it's LoveThatLaura, and then Laura. That's Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I'm just Laura Summer, voice actor. And what else is there? I don't know. I think that's enough right now.
That's enough to keep you busy. I think one thing I will say is that it's great that, as difficult as it must be recording in the closet, as you say, it must be great that you can still keep working, right? And I think that's something that everybody's.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of what they call ADR and dubbing, and so it's more anonymous. So I've been doing that for a really long time, and now I'm going to start auditioning again because the jobs that I get, I just sort of get from people who know me and stuff like that. So I really wasn't like loving auditioning, but now I'm like into it. So look for me more.
We will, and good luck with those auditions that are coming up then.
Thank you. Thank you so
And once
much.
again,
thank you for a great evening. And we look forward to hearing from you on Twitter and hearing your voice in some upcoming episodes.
That would be fantastic. And you guys have a great one.
We will. Thank you so much for your time, Laura. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Same here.